Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
The God of heaven and earth came to earth, and his name is Jesus Christ.
The more I pursue God, the more he reveals me. The more I pursue God, the more fully human I become.
And this is why tears fill our eyes when we think about Jesus. And this is why the gospel is still good news in the world today. Because God broke the law for love.
There is only one begotten Son of the Father, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Be still and know who your God is.
Join us at Presence Conference from the 10th to the 13th of April 2017, held at Sydney's newest convention centre, the ICC. We'll be hearing from our hosts, Phil and Chris Pringle, guest speakers Lisa Bevere, Stephen Furtick, Paul Scanlon, Robert Maddow, and joining Martin Smith, along with his band in worship. For more information or to register, head to presenceconference.com.
Thank you, Jesus, for helping us here tonight. Let the power of God settle on our time together and sharing your word with all of our hearts here tonight. Talk to us, Jesus. We believe you'll pour out your spirit on every life here. And everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm glad you came to church tonight. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. Awesome. Well, we began a series on revival. I love this, talking about this area. And we start a 5 days of fasting and prayer tomorrow. Just want to welcome everybody watching online as well on our live TV and on Church On Demand. And if you invite friends, go to that invite box, invite friends, be part of the giving, and just be part of the service. Lock in, don't get distracted. Be alert to it. And everybody here, you know, you get out of the things of God as much as you put in. You can't get out of the soil anything that you didn't put in there. And if you put seed in the soil, then you get it back. And if you put something into a service, I generally sit forward when I'm in church, or when I'm worshiping, I lean forward physically, because if I just sit back and get complacent, and then I walk out and think, oh, nothing much happened, that's because I didn't put anything in. But even with the preaching, like when you get into it and you think, okay, I'm going to hear something tonight that's going to change my life, and I want to get hungry for God. If I was to ask you, what's your next step? You know, turn to your neighbor and say, what's your next step? That's a pretty challenging question, to tell you the truth, because that means, what are you going to do next in your Christian life? Well, maybe here tonight, you'll hear that next step. We have a next step bar out there, and all in our church, we have a pathway. And tonight, many people are going to take the next step of water baptism. And so I want you to stand up. If you're here with the t-shirt on up the back, I see some of you. Stand up, all the water baptismal people are getting water baptized tonight. Our red shirt guy's getting baptized too. If you have never been water baptized, I'd love you to do it here tonight. Straight after the service, out there on the in the forecourt, we have a tank that we will be baptizing people in. And you can join all these people. We've been baptizing people all day, all around all of our locations, 14 locations around the city, and here tonight as well. And so that's going to be a magnificent time to actually see some people take a next step. And it really is a next step. I know many Christians who have been living their life at a level where they've been coming to church and it's still a bit confusing and not quite sure about some things. But I know one particular gentleman who became a very powerful minister. But as soon as he got water baptized, he came out of that water with fire, with passion in his heart, just like Jesus came out of the water and he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where fire came into his heart and he found himself equipped for ministry. And water baptism isn't just an empty ceremony. It is a spiritual act of real power in your life. You'll pull the lever on destiny when you start to take that next step. Another step is actually when the Holy Spirit comes on you in a river of power. And Jesus said, when I come, I'm going to pour power on your life. Luke 24:49, he says, make sure you wait until you're empowered to live the kind of life that I am asking you to live, because the Christian life, quite honestly, it's not hard. It's impossible. It's impossible to do a lot of the things that Jesus asks us to do. And if you're just white-knuckling, gritting your teeth together, trying desperately to forgive somebody, or trying to pray, or trying to do the stuff that you know you're called to do, then a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit will change all that. And you find your heart is set free to do those things, and it's strong, and you're empowered from within with a power to actually have the right attitudes and to create the right mindset. And that comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, none of them could do what God had asked them to do. Constantly they fell short. But then Jesus came and he said, look, we're going to do away with that. We're going to put the power on the inside of you to actually help you conform to all the things that God has got for you, both generally and specifically in your life. And I find that many times Christians, all of us, will find ourselves just going through the motions with no real life on the inside of our heart, no passion. We're just going to church. We're just reading the Bible. We're just praying, and it's not exciting like it used to be. It's not like fresh. It kind of gets dull. This morning I talked about reopening the wells. And inside of us, it's like there's this fountain that bubbles up all day long. When you are spiritually alive, that fountain will bubble up on the inside of you. Songs of praise, desires for time with God. You'll be hungry to be in church. But when our spiritual temperature cools, those things are not so attractive to us. Other things are that take us actually away from the Lord. And all of us drift. I've done a lot of boating, and man, you've got to have an anchor. The tides and the currents and the winds, it'll blow you on the rocks. And so you put that anchor out and you know that you're going to be stable. And when you've got an anchor in the Holy Spirit, when you've got an anchor in a spiritual renewal, you're going to find yourself coming alive in the river. We come alive. It's not just a song we sing, and it's not just exciting music. It's actually a reality on the inside of you that spiritual life starts to bubble up, and it creates in you a climate that draws you closer to God. Charles Finney, one of the greatest revivalists of all time, brought hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. He said, and he was known as a revivalist, everywhere he went, great revivals would happen in the church. He said, unless spiritual feelings are awakened and kept excited, opposing worldly feelings and excitements prevail, and people will not obey God. So he said, there's a contest all the time between what the world's offering you and tempting you with and what God is trying to draw you closer to him. And there's all kinds of forces tempting you away, but the Spirit of God is wooing you and trying to draw you near to him. And when you've got great habits in your life, like turning up at church tonight, I'm so proud of you every time I see you in the house of God. Or in this week when we meet together for prayer, 6 a.m. up in the prayer chapel, or if there's too many of us, we'll be in here fasting and praying for a week. All of these things, they cause you to rise in your appetite for God. The thing about God is that when you draw near to him, you're never satisfied. You want more of what you are loving. And when it's the same in the other direction, though, you'll only want more of the wrong thing once you start chasing that. The best way to kill that is to fill yourself with the Holy Spirit and find your renewal coming alive on the inside. And I'm believing that here in the next 20 minutes, some things are going to happen in this hall that will touch you, that will recreate that river flowing in your life. Psalm 46 verse 4 says, there is a river. Everybody say, there is a river. Whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place. That's saying in the church, there's a river in here. And if you look around, you'll always find there are people at various stages of either in the river or on the banks of the river or looking at other people in the river. The best place you can be in a river is in the river. It's actually saying, you know what? I'm just going to lose myself to God. I'm going to let myself be abandoned. We talk about being set free. Just let yourself be free. When we're worshiping, go there. Don't stand there with folded arms looking at everybody else. Take advantage of the moment and go there, and you'll find there's a river. The river is there if you reach out. It's easy to be. You can be a sponge in the river, or you can be a stone in the river. You crack open the stone, even though there's a river all around it, it's dry on the inside. And that river Jesus spoke of when he said in John 7:37, he says, on the last day, and I got to tell you, it feels like exactly last days, that great day of the feast. It's not, the last days are not morbid, they're great days. Jesus stood and he cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. This isn't about reserved for special people. This is anyone. Let him come to me and drink. So this is the thing. There's a big difference between being brought to Jesus and you coming to Jesus. If you've been brought and there's two big heel marks in the dirt behind you because you're resisting, oh, I got to go because my mother told me, here I am, my wife drags me along, You actually need to get that on the inside of you that I am coming to the Lord myself. I'm going to engage my will myself. And then he says, and then drink. You got to open up your hands and reach out to God and let it happen to you. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive. So he's saying the way that you receive the Holy Spirit is coming in with a heart that's thirsty. You know, when I met the Lord, I was 19, okay? It's quite a long time ago, like 4.5 years. It's a decent time ago. Here's the thing, though. On the night I met the Lord, I didn't know anything about God. Chris and I were in this little church, and we were in the third row, and a woman had brought us along, and she was sitting behind us. And when, at the end of the message, I'd never seen anything like it. All these people were very old, but I'd never seen people do this kind of thing, lift their hands. And so it was very weird to me. But then he said, at the end of the service, he said, anybody want to receive Jesus, lift your hands. And she tapped me on the shoulder, said, you lift your hand now. I said, oh, okay. And I said, it's me. And then he said, okay, so anybody wants to receive Christ, come forward. She said, okay, you go forward now. I said, oh, okay. So we're all going. I thought the whole church was going to go forward. It was like Chris and me, we were just standing out there. And I think there might have been one or two others, but that was it. And then they took us out the back. Well, they took me out the back because we'd rung up about just trying to solve some spiritual dilemma we were in. And a friend had referred us to be there. So I go out the back, and it's in a room with no atmosphere or anything else. And they put a chair in the middle of the room, and all these elders come out. Now, these are real elders, like elders. They were like 340 years old. The youth leader was 120 in that church. And so they were all old people, and they had that white skin with blue veins. And that's all I can remember. Hello there. It's like, oh God, what's this? But they were lovely people, really nice people, but just quite old. And they put me in the middle, and they said, we're going to pray for you now. Because we'd sort of messed around with Ouija boards and stuff like that. I said, we're going to pray for you now, and anything might happen. And I said, oh, good, we'll pray together. And the last time I'd prayed was like many years before that. And we'd prayed, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So I started to do that. I put my hands together. I said, Our Father. And suddenly all these hands were on my head, like, dong, 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 dong. And then they started yelling, come out in Jesus' name. Whoa, what is happening? That was a really weird moment. But then I felt this black cloud go, leave me. And I thought, whoa, that was amazing. And then I started crying. And I had this, I just wanted to know God. That was my deepest quest that had been. We'd tried to get to India to study under gurus. We'd read all the Krishnamurti material. We'd just searching, hungry, wanting to drink God. And then I got the shock of my life when God was the God of the Christians. It was so disappointing for me. because they were such a nerdy bunch. They were so, every Christian I met just turned me off. I did not want to know them. I wanted to be like the Beatles and meditate with the Maharishi, you know, and play a sitar. That was way cooler to be one of those. No, that's disappointing, God. Don't tell me you're that. But he was the God of the dirty people and he's the God of Jesus and the Christians. It's unfortunate that we package Jesus, you know, in such a way that it's kind of unappealing to people who are searching. But anyway, that's what happened. And then as they were praying, I was crying and I said, thank you, Jesus. Well, I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't have a clue who he was, but I knew he had something to do with what was going on right now. And so I said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And they're dancing around the room doing this little Jewish gig or something. They're all going, praise God, and we got one. You know, like I was a hippie. I had hair down here and my wife had hair down there. And we were just like hippie people, and they'd never seen any of our kind in their church before. But now one of those kind, those aliens that kind of turned up, now he's getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I started speaking in this other language. And I thought, wow, what is that? And because they were doing it. And I thought, oh, that sounds incredible. And I got this kind of, you can do it too. I thought, really? Okay, let's give it a shot. I just let myself go. And if you are prepared to drink the Holy Spirit, he'll come into your world. You don't have to be a super-duper Christian or anything like that. You just have to be open to God. Go ahead. Give the Lord a clap offering. All right. So that fire that got lit inside of me has stayed alight for 45 years. And it'll never go out if you just keep putting oil in there and keep spending time in the presence of God, and you'll keep reaching. You'll have a river of life going out of your world that changes people's lives. Ezekiel 47 verse 1 says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple and there was water. Now Jesus just said, you'll remember this. He says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said. What scripture is he referring to? Ezekiel 47 1. He's talking about, then he brought me back to the door of the temple and there was water. This is a month of revival for us. Revival comes when the Holy Spirit touches your world and revives the flame and the fire and the passion on the inside. But it starts with a then he. And then he brought me back to the door. God will always use a person. Then he brought me back. Somebody's going to speak to you or preach to you. Maybe it's me tonight. Maybe it's someone who's going to influence your world and convict you and challenge you and excite you about the idea of, I got to get back. Get back. Get back. Get back to where you once belong. Yeah, right. That's it. All right. That's enough. All right. Get back to where you belong. It's time to actually find yourself back with that passion. I mean, honestly, this morning I was talking about unblocking wells. I was a holy laxative sent from God for people just to get free. And honestly, I meet some people these days, I'm thinking like, oh yeah, you need some, you know, just to get free, not to be so lumpy and grumpy and to let the joy and the power of the great Holy Spirit of heaven come into your world and reignite that flame. But here it's talking about getting this water flowing out and being touched by this river, letting that river come into your world. So it says, then he brought me back. I was somewhere else and I needed to go back to that place where the water flows. And the place where the water flows, it says, he brought me back to the door. The door is Jesus. He says, I am the door. By me, you'll find your way in and you'll find your way out. And here tonight, if he's not in the center of your vision, if he's been dislodged from that place, you're going to be out of whack with that river, because the river flows from a central Jesus in your life when he is right in the middle of your world. And if he is not at the center here tonight, I want you to make him at the center. If you've been away from God, I want you to come back. If you've never met him, I want you to receive him. In a few moments, about 5 minutes, I'm going to ask you to actually pray a prayer and receive him into your life and come back to him if you've been away from him. But then he says in this verse, then he brought me back to the door of the temple and there was water. Now, any minister should be able to bring people back, to bring people out, to bring people through, and to return people to the bank, which is where they're going to grow. Being touched by the river is one thing, but actually discovering how we're going to grow is another. Every time we have an encounter with God, it needs to be transformed into a lifestyle so that we're not just hanging around for another encounter. It's a balance, though. Let me tell you this. When you have that encounter and you begin a habitual lifestyle, that can easily become lifeless and just mere religion. Unless we have new moments of encounter, new reviving moments where God draws near to us and we draw near to him. And I know in this meeting right now, I can feel the Holy Spirit here. I feel the power of God in this place. That if you reach out to him in these next few moments while the musicians come, I know that he's going to touch your life.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 450 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.